Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. 15. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Let's pray. Father, we just bow our heads before you this morning, and we know how much you love us. Some of us want to know more how much you love us. Some of us need to know very much how much you love us. And God, we want to hear from you this morning. So Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, use your servant. We bind all distractions and everything of the enemy that would move us somewhere else. And we speak healing, deliverance, understanding, revelation to each of us today. For your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. How many of you have a favorite person that you wish you could hang out with? Somebody, you know, maybe it's a famous person, but you don't have access to them. I'm thinking, since I'm a musician, I kind of did get a little close to Michael Jackson, but I never actually met him in person. I played on stages where he was just a few hours before me and stuff like that, but I never actually met him. But he might have been somebody I would want to have sat down and had a discussion with him, talked to him. But I didn't get that opportunity. Do you have somebody like that? I know some of you have issues with our current president, but some of you would like to sit down and just have a conversation with Donald Trump and say, hey, what's going on? How you feeling? What you doing? Why are you doing it? And some of us would like to have a real conversation with Barack Obama. Why did you do that? And what's going on? And what, you know, am I right? Anybody? Is that anybody? Okay. I used to play for James Ingram. Some of you know that. He's a singer, did a lot of work with Quincy Jones. And one day Quincy Jones used to work for Frank Sinatra a lot. Produced a lot of his records and arranged and stuff. And so, so James told me that Quincy told him and Michael, if you want to see how to be in this business for a long time, look at Frank Sinatra. So he took them to Las Vegas to meet and see and experience Frank Sinatra. And so James was telling me this years later. And I asked him, well, what did you learn? And he gave me a lot of stuff that he learned about being with Frank Sinatra. But I can only imagine why some of you might want to be with your favorite person. Maybe a writer, or I know everybody has that person, right? I got some good news, though. You can be on a first name basis and be as close as you want to be to the greatest person that ever lived. His name is Jesus. His Father created worlds by just speaking out of his mouth. In 7 days, he created the atmosphere that we live in right now. In 7 days, he created all the animals by the word of his mouth. That's a pretty powerful person, wouldn't you say? And wouldn't it be kind of cool to get to know that guy? I hate to speak of him so irreverently, but wouldn't it be really cool to get to know God? You can. That's the good news. You can. Some of y'all getting it. Because what I think is, I think most of us think God is way up there and he doesn't really care about me or know much about me. And if he really cared about me, he would come down here. Well, he did. He sent his son. His name was Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus was tempted and went through all the experiences of being on the earth. Like we do. Jesus cried. You know, when Lazarus died, Jesus cried. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. When we were kids, we used to have to say a Bible verse at the table for dinner. And we would all be going, Jesus wept. because it was the easy way out. But the best part about it is that Jesus experienced many of the things that we have experienced. Amen? And because he's experienced them, he laid down his supernatural power as God. He just said, hey, I'm going to be like y'all. That's why he wasn't born at the White House. And that's why he wasn't born in a mansion. He was born in a barn where the animals sleep. Even the hotel of the day, the inn, was better than where he was. He was in with the grass and the animals and whatnot. So he experienced, you know, being low. And then when they hung him on the cross, that's as high as he ever got. Because while he was here, he was nothing but a servant. And he preached good news to everyone who would hear it. That's the greatest person in the universe. We could get to know that person. How many of you want to know Jesus better? So in that verse that we just read, it says that he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12. And those next five words or six words says that they might be with him. I never got that till a few years ago. I mean, yeah, Jesus wanted to teach him stuff. It says that they might be with him, which tells me that God wants to be with us. He wants to come and meet you right where you are. So our God, the one I serve, I don't know about you, but the one I serve, he wants to hang out with me. And he told me so. And I'm just telling y'all, you could have the same thing. This is still too loud, Carolee. You could have the same thing. Because Jesus wanted to spend time with them. Because guess what? When you spend time with somebody, what happens? You get to know them. Like, we have fellowship time after church every Sunday. And I noticed since we instituted this about 2 or 3 years ago, the closing of the church happens later and later because of the fellowship. And that's exactly what we want. People to hang out and get to know each other. It's not good enough just to come to church on Sunday. Hey, how you doing? But I know a lot of us kind of like that. I can be incognito. There's a whole bunch of people, and I don't have to say nothing to nobody. I notice there's some people that when pastor or whoever's leading the service say, in Jesus' name, amen, you're dismissed. That side door opens and gone. However, you should hang around sometime because Jesus wants to spend time with you through other people as well. So, in Genesis, it tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, all the life that we see in the plants and animals, and then he made us in his image in 7 days. The same God who created our complex and wonderful universe created us as well, and he created us for relationship. He created us so he could have a relationship with us. You know the difference between us and every other animal? Now, I know none of you really, how many people really enjoy being around flies? You just want to slap them down, especially when they get on your watermelon or something. But, you know, God created them too. But he didn't send Jesus to die for the flies or for your dog or your cat. You know, and those are nice animals. I'm not putting them down. But he sent Jesus to die for us because he wants to have a relationship with us. The Bible says in Psalms that he created us a little lower than the angels. So the angels can do stuff that we can't, but he put us a little bit lower than them. We're the only creatures that God has created that can do what we can do. There's a song we used to sing. But it's scripture, and it says that there's a song that the angels cannot sing. Can anybody tell me what it is? Come on, it's the song of the redeemed. The angels never were born into sin like we are. And when Jesus saved us and brought us out of the miry clay and changed our life forever and gave us eternal life with him. That right there is redemption. Just to bring that point home, when you go to a pawn shop, somebody has taken a valuable something, maybe a camera or a ring or a watch or something, and they traded in for 1/500th of what it's worth. Could be a $3,000 watch that you paid for it, and they'll give you $39.95 for it. Because they want to devalue until you walk out the door. And if you come back in 2 weeks later, or 30 days after 30 days, they can sell your thing. 30 days later, you come back, it's $2,500. Or something like that. You know, it's a lot more. And then the person who has the ticket that put that in the pawn shop can come back and redeem it. That means he can get that valuable object by paying a price, whatever that price is. Jesus redeemed us from hell with the blood of his own life. He redeemed us. He paid the price. Are you getting that? I mean, it needs to be real to every one of us that he redeemed our lives with his blood. And he did that because he cares about us. I mean, if you didn't care, you wouldn't go back to the pawn shop. I was trying to buy a house many years ago, and my wife and I decided we need a little bit more cash. So I took my expensive camera and went to the pawn shop and pawned it. You know what? It's still at the pawn shop. I must not have cared enough, because I never went back and got it. When I got my house, I was happy. So that little $50 went to paying paint or something, I don't know. Nevertheless, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." That's a very important part of that verse. Many of us have heard, and I've preached it many times, "For I know the plans." This is God speaking about us, that he knows the plans that he has for us. He has plans to prosper or bless or help you and not to harm you. God is not the big cop in the sky that's going to hit you over your head because you messed up. We all mess up. But he has plans to bless you and to give you a hope and a future. And he says, when he starts doing that, you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. If you, it says, you will seek me and find me, and here's the big deal, when you seek me with all your heart. It's the thing about this. How many of you have, everybody's had a boyfriend or a girlfriend in their life, right? If you didn't have one, you wanted to, and you dreamed about it. And you thought about it, and if you were like me, you planned it, tried to figure it out, how you were going to have a relationship with a certain person. But what I notice is that many of the times, the fire that God has to meet with us is not reciprocated. I watched old movies when I was a kid, and there was this, some movie, I don't remember what it was, but the phrase stuck with me. It said, unrequited love. And I didn't know what unrequited meant. I just knew somebody's lacking something. And I figured out what it meant. It means that one person loves somebody, but that love is not returned. God is saying to us that he loves us. And in that verse it says, when you seek me with all your heart, that's you wanting to love him back. That's what he's talking about. And he says, when you do that, I, meaning God, will be found by you. I'm going to read some scriptures off to you, because the Bible says that God's word is sharp and quick and powerful. And it cuts like a two-edged sword. It divides the soul and the mind. It divides and it helps us understand. So I'm going to read these to you because maybe they don't need as much explanation. I'm just going to let the power of the Word of God speak to you. John 3:16 says, and most of you know it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Eternal life. God so loved. That's his reaching out to us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again." Revelations 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him." Or in today's vernacular, "I'll come in and hang out with you and we'll eat and we'll talk." Amen? Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So John 15:7 says, "If you abide," that means if you hang out in me and my words hang out in you. That's a big one. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." John 15:9 says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you." Jesus is talking there. "As God the Father has loved me, I, Jesus, have also loved you," us. "Abide in my love," he said. In Ephesians 2:4, it says, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy." That means he has a whole lot of it. He doesn't run out of mercy. He doesn't run out of mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. Holy cow. "Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions." You remember before Christ? Anybody? You remember before? You can raise your hand and let me know. You signify. You remember what your life was like before Christ? Anybody want to go back? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? This is Joe Pesci and my cousin Vinny. Are you absolutely sure? It's funny. Mercy, mercy, mercy. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. You didn't do nothing to earn it. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So think of it this way. You were dead in trespasses and sin. David referred to it as the miry clay. You ever been in clay? It's all, think of quicksand, that's close enough. You're stuck down there. And God, through Jesus Christ, took you out. David said he put my foot on a rock, something solid. And then he took us, and that scripture says he seated us together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. In heavenly places. We went from the bottom all the way to the top. We went from the bottom all the way to the top. Is that something to get excited about? Holy cow. So I'm just saying this so you can understand that God wants to have a relationship with you. Romans 8:37. This is a great scripture. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Does he want to hang out with you or what? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You should get excited. Nothing can, absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. That helps us know that God is interested in having a relationship with us. We need to have a relationship with Christ. I was telling you about him wanting to connect with us. We need to go back the other way. I'm going to skip ahead, but in James it says, I think it's James 4:9. It says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Notice it says you draw near to God. Something you have to do. Something we have to do. So what does it mean to draw near to God? Uh-oh. Charlotte got it. She said, intimacy. That's what it means. Okay, I'm going to give y'all back to the, you know, the boy-girl relationship when you're teenagers or when you were in your 20s. Y'all remember that? And some of you who are teenagers in here, you're probably thinking about it. But I noticed some years ago, I had a conversation with Miss Jerusha over there. And I called her up after a lot of fumbling and picking up the phone and dialing 6 of the 7 numbers and then hanging up. And finally, I let it ring, and she wasn't home. But another time I called her, she answered the phone, we talked. And I invited her to do a recording session for me. She came to my studio. And we started talking. 30 minutes later, we're still talking. An hour later, we're still talking. 2 hours later, we're still talking. Finally, it was like, I better let her go. She went home, and we agreed to get together sometime in the future. So we went to a movie. I couldn't wait to go. I put on my best clothes, took my car to the car wash. I threw on my really good cologne. I got my car all buffed up and drove to her house, picked her up. We went on a date, and we're halfway there, and she goes, are we going to beaches? She knew where we were going already. Somehow, I don't know how, because I was looking at my little directions to get there. We got to beaches, and we had a little seat set aside, a little table or whatever, that was reserved for us, and we sat there. And it was probably 7 o'clock when we got there. And we didn't leave till 11:30, something like that. We talked, and people came, at least 3 or 4 of the waiters, waitresses would come on. How long have you been married? Are you celebrating your wedding? Are you, oh, we're just dating. We're not married or nothing yet. We're just talking. But I wanted to spend time with her. Amen. Let me say it again. I wanted to spend time with her. Now, I know she wanted to spend time with me because whenever I called, she was like, I'm free. Now, why are y'all laughing? Because every free moment I had, I was dialing her number. What you doing? I wanted to spend time with her. And then our first date, actually, not the one I just told you about, but our first date, we went to the movies with her friends. Actually, Rob was with us and her daughter and some friends. There's about 10 of us. And we went to the movies and we watched movies. Afterwards, we went to Chili's and we were all sitting there talking. And I was like, y'all are nice, but I want to get to know her. And so we planned another date and we had to babysit her grandson. So he was sitting between us and we watched the movie. And that was one night. Then another date, same thing. And finally, we got the date where we went to the, and that's when we had a chance to talk. So all of this desire to communicate and be known by her and me, we both had the same desire. And we found out all these things we had in common. We found out all this good stuff. In that same way, we should be seeking relationship with God the Father. Can I get a witness this morning? Can I get a witness this morning? Do you believe that? Are you sure? Yeah, see. All right. So, in the few minutes we have left, I'm going to try to get through this, but this is the crux of it. How can we then operate as one with the purposes of God in concert with the Holy Spirit? In other words, how can we be intimate with God? And this is a huge subject, but this will get us started. It says in Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. But he said to them in verse 38, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So I want you to look at that again. Now in the morning, Jesus rose early in the morning to have relationship with the Father. Jesus rose early in the morning to have relationship with the Father. What should we be doing? Okay, let me say it a little differently. If it was good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for us. If he did it, we should be doing it. What do you think? I had a whole bunch of scriptures. I didn't put them in because we don't have time. But there's a ton of them, especially in John, where you read it. And Jesus talks about, I and the Father are one. I don't do nothing but what the Father tells me. Whatever he tells me, that's what I do. Whatever he says, that's what I hear, that's what I do. I and the Father are one. He keeps saying it and acting. And he said it over and over again to let us know that he's not acting on his own. He's acting in concert with the will of God the Father. And he does that by staying in connection with him. In the same way, being intimate with God, that's how we should be doing it. Amen? So it says in the morning. Why is it in the morning? Why didn't he go out late the night before? He wasn't reading nothing. He was praying. And they didn't have no flashlights. But early in the morning, when the sun comes up, it's a new day. God's mercies are new every afternoon. His mercies are new every evening. His mercies are new when? Every morning. So if you get up in the morning and spend time with him, guess what you're going to get? Some mercy, some grace, directions. You're going to be helping yourself follow in line with what he has for you to do. It says he departed to a solitary place. That's always been interesting to me. Why was Jesus always walking off somewhere? So he could block out all the noise from everyone else. They knew he was healing people all the time. Jesus, can you heal me? I'm broke over here. Can you touch me? You can't get no peace and quiet. So what did he do? He went to a solitary place. Solitary is another word for quiet. When there's a lot of things going on, can you hear? Really? Can you? You ever been in a classroom with kids that are all screaming and yelling? Could you hear a whisper in that middle of all that noise? My wife was a teacher for 31 years, and she knew how to keep them kids in line. Let me tell you, I saw her working out one day. All right, let's go. But our lives don't reflect that. Our lives are busy. How many of you got something to do this afternoon, later on this afternoon, tonight, later on tonight, before you go to bed? Right. And you've been here already. So busyness is a way of life for many of us. So that's why we have to come aside, go up to the mountain, go to a solitary, quiet place. So for some of us, it'd be a closet in our house. For some of us, it'd be just in, you know, one of mine's is in the bathroom because nobody else is coming in there when I'm in there. Solitary. You got to do what you got to do. Amen? Because I want to be alone. That's right. So Jesus went to a solitary place to get his instructions from the Father. Now we know that's true because at the end of that verse it says, in verse 38, it says, he came back and said to them, let us go into the next towns that I might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So when he was spending time with God, he was getting instructions. He was getting encouragement. He was getting fired up. He was getting empowered to do the will of the Father. If you spend time with God, guess what's going to happen? He's going to talk to you. He's going to bless you. You know what? A lot of us are afraid of intimacy because we're broken. And we're afraid of somebody seeing our junk. I got both hands up. If I had two more, they'd be up. That's me. I don't really want everybody to see my dirt. And even before God sometimes, I have learned how to come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace, that unmerited, unearned favor that God deposits on us because he loves us. So even though I feel like a worm or like I'm not worthy or any of that stuff, I still go anyway. Because I know God wants me to come. He's inviting me to come. Jesus said, come, all those who are weary and heavily burdened down and wore out and turned out and beat up and scarred up, come to me and I'll give you rest. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all looking at me like, yeah. We only got a few more minutes. Intimacy with God, that's it. I'm going to skip down to another example. Lord, you know what needs to happen right here. In Matthew 14:23, it says, this is another example of Jesus doing something. He said, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. It's a similar situation, and Jesus does a similar thing. It says he sent the multitudes away. He had been healing people all the time and whatnot, and everybody kept coming after him. So let me make it practical. How many of you have done plenty of good things and you've helped people and you've done stuff? And maybe you haven't done anything to help people. You've just been selfishly living your life. It doesn't matter. But there's a lot of crowd around you. You got friends always calling you to go hang out and do something, right? You got people calling you on your cell phone, texting you, showing you this, giving you their Facebook stuff. Oh my goodness. This is what I had for breakfast. This is what I had for my snack. I'm on my way to the gym to work out the snack I just ate. I ran into an old classmate on the way. Look at what they look like now. I mean, you can get a whole lot of information. That's just information. It's overload and it's unnecessary and it's distracting. That's why Jesus sent the multitudes away. And then he went away to make sure there was a gap. Y'all go this way, I'm going this way. And then he went up on the mountain, it says. He was alone there. And in another scripture, Jesus went to the mountain and he prayed all night long. Not 20 minutes, all night long. If he did it, we can do it. Say it again. If he did it, yeah, you can. Some of y'all think, man, I don't know, I haven't that much to say. When you get in trouble, you'll have that much to say. Right? I know when I was in trouble, I didn't have no time talk. I didn't have no trouble talking to God. God, I need you right now. And I'm making a joke, but I'm not. The night before my wife went home to be with God, I was in trouble. I didn't call my friends. I had plenty of people to call. I didn't call my brother-in-law who I was like, man, I'm going to call him. And it was like, the Lord was like, I had my Bible with me. And it was like he started shaking it in my hand. He didn't, but it was as if he was like, I'm right here. I'm right here. Open me up. Talk to me. Forget about everybody else because the answer is in here. And he gave me the answer after about 3 hours of prayer. And I was sitting in a room with my wife by myself, and the things were going pss, boom, pss, boop, 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 and all the stuff you have in a room in the hospital. And God began to speak to me through his word. Jesus went to the mountain to pray. Another reason why he goes to the mountain is because he's high up. When you're high up, you ever go to any precipice and look out, you see things a whole different way. You see things totally different. When you're in the mess you're in, everything looks one way. You've heard the thing, you can't see the forest for the trees. The trees are all blocking your view. So if you can get up in a helicopter and get up and look down at the forest, you can see where the fire's at. You can see what to avoid. You can see which way to go. Where's the trail going? You can see a lot of things when you get up. That's why Jesus went to the mountain. That's why he went away from the multitudes to be undistracted. And then he prayed. And in that prayer, just like in the garden, before he was hanged on the tree, the Bible says that Jesus went in the, he said, hey, can you guys come with me, talking to Peter and them, and hang out with me? I want to pray. And they fell asleep. But Jesus kept calling out to God. And in the midnight of your life, whatever that is, God's telling you to come to me and have intimate relationship with me, because I am the one who has life. The disciples said it when they're on the road. They said, Lord, who can we go to? You are the one that has the words of life. You follow what I'm saying? The intimacy that comes from being with God, and this is just the beginning. When we come to church to worship, that's a powerful time. But a lot of us don't take advantage of it. We come to work, we come to church at 11:15, 11:20, although more and more of you are coming at 11:05 and 11:10. But at 10:05, 10:10. At 10 o'clock when we start, there's a number of you. And then it starts filling up. That's good that you come. But if you come and get the whole thing, you're spending time with God as soon as you enter in here. This is part of your intimate time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to help you to grow in your relationship with God, because some of you, I know many of, I've heard plenty of testimonies. People are asking God for this, and they're doing that, and they're trying, and they're frustrated. I pray, but God doesn't answer my prayer, and I asked God for this, and he didn't give it to me. He disappointed me. How come he let so-and-so die? How come? And you can ask all these questions, but they're usually because there's a lack of intimacy with the Father. Because if you know God the way I do, and I'm not bragging or anything, but I was shown the way by my parents. They were on their knees every day. All I saw was backsides in the air, praying for me and my family and for things we were dealing with. And they set the example so that I would do the same. So that when I came into my time of struggle and pain and whatever, I knew to call on Jesus. I know to spend time with him. So that when you go through your trial, because everybody's going to have multiple trials, you're going to have trials just because you believe God. The devil's going to resist you. The only way you can win over him is to resist him back. And you resist him back with the word of God. And the word of God gets in you when you start to pray and read the Bible and get filled up with the presence of God. Because the presence of God brings power, and power brings deliverance. And deliverance changes the atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. So if you want to get a breakthrough, get intimate with God. If you're not getting your prayers answered, if you're not feeling like you're connected to God, it's because you're not close enough. God didn't go anywhere. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a consistent God. He loves us the same as he did yesterday, as he did 2 years ago, as he did 100 years ago. His love has not changed. His arm is not too short to reach where you are.
And if you spend time with him, he'll bring you out of the miry clay. He'll put your foot on a solid rock called Christ Jesus. He'll help you to overcome. He'll show you what your next steps are. He'll answer the prayers that deep in your heart. Some of you have been praying about something for years and you haven't really given it over to God. You've been, hey, God, how come you didn't? And when are you going to? But if you spend some time in relationship with him, not just asking, give me this, give me that. You know how it is with your kids. Can I have $5? Can I have $10? I want to buy a suit. I want to buy shoes. I want to do this. I want to go hang out with my friends. Can I have? How about you just hang around here? Let's eat dinner at the table. Tell me what happened at school. Right? You want to know that too. You don't mind giving, but... And guess what? God is not a whole lot different. That's why he said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. But his steps are way bigger than ours. A lot of times we just look like we're going to get on our knees and God's like... Would you bow your heads? I want you to do business with God tonight. We're not going to have this morning. We're not having music. Holy Ghost time. Close your eyes. Don't look around. Don't think about nothing else but what the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about. And ask the Lord to show you what you need to do to be more intimate with him. And if he has shown you already, then take the step right now and get intimate. Tell God something. If you don't want nobody to hear what you're praying, put your hand over your mouth and speak quietly, but speak. And tell God. There should be mumbling going on right now.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.